Both the Democratic Alliance and the African National Congress have had an opportunity to rule both the city of Cape Town and the Western Cape with checkered results, if you look at it. The ANC running the city from 2002 to 2006, and also the province from 2002 to 2009. Now we've got the Democratic Alliance, which has been in power ever since, and we're still talking about problems in the Western Cape and in the city of Cape Town. To try to get an understanding of some of the issues in that region of the country, I have Philip Dexter. He's a South African politician, activist, and entrepreneur. Philip, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Archie.
Let's perhaps just begin by declaring your cards on the table. You how shall we call you? Closer to the ANC than you are to the DA. Would that be an accurate description?
Absolutely. I'm an ANC member. I wear my colors on my sleeve. But I will say this, I'm a critical ANC member in the sense that I'm willing to accept that there are many things that the ANC has done that are not necessarily the best for people in the Western Cape. So I'm not here to simply claim ideologically that the ANC is better than the DA. Mm. I accept that we have as much responsibility for the failures of governance in the Western Cape as the DA has.
Okay. So let's start by your assessment, your analysis so far, where some of the problems that we are seeing at the moment stem from.
Well, look, my standpoint is the following, that I accept that neither the DA or the ANC can claim a clean track record in governance in the Western Cape. And I think that we both parties have a responsibility to bear. Mm. And while I will accept that nationally there is the perception that the ANC is corrupt, et cetera, lots of problems, and here in the province that we didn't necessarily govern well, and that there are questions about accountability of finances and so on, all of which I think one must be honest. We as the ANC, we have to take some responsibility. But the point I'm trying to make is something different. I'm saying that whatever the track record in terms of governing and managing finances, the way in which we allocate resources is crucial, because under the DA, they have failed to allocate resources in a way which will deal with the legacy of apartheid, whether it comes to spatial planning, whether it comes to job creation, whether it comes to unemployment, land reform, and so on and so on and so on. So the ANC has not fared well, but I do think that ANC governments here have tried to allocate resources in a way which would deal with the legacies of the past. And in doing that, they've probably not managed the finances very well, which is what, you know, the claim of the DA. Mm. So I'm happy to accept that. But what I'm saying is that the DA have not attempted in any way to allocate money, resources, finances in a way that would ensure that transformation takes place.
Okay. So show me the evidence then.
Okay. So, like I said in my article, first of all, if you look at land reform in the Western Cape, all the stats show less land reform than anywhere else in the country. If you look at the amount of land available for arable purposes, so farming, compared to the rest of the Western Cape, just the country, just to give an example, 1%, only 1% of arable land in the Western Cape is owned and controlled by black people. Whether you look at housing, whether you look at businesses, whether you look at ownership of companies, every stat will show you that whatever the problem is at national level, and I accept, as I said, the ANC has not fared well. So I'm not here saying the ANC is like, oh, they're fantastic. But wherever the ANC has fared, the DA in the Western Cape has fared worse. So that raises the issue that if the ANC had been allowed to govern in the Western Cape, it would have achieved far more than what the DA has.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. So I remember actually this story about the Democratic Alliance boasting that it actually has the best rate of success in terms of land reform in the country. And this is coming from Helen Zille, the Western Cape Premier.
Yep.
The date
The
date is the 22nd of February 2018. And the story goes that the Western Cape boasts a 62% success rate for land reform farms, compared with 92% failure rate in the rest of the country. What's your rebuttal?
Bring it on. Those land reform issues have nothing to do with the provincial government. Land reform is a national competence. So whatever success in land reform we have seen in the Western Cape has nothing to do with the DA. It's all to do with national government. So it's true that land reform, and there are many other indicators in the Western Cape. That's what I'm saying. You can look across land reform, water, education, whatever. They have nothing to do with the performance of the government in the Western Cape. They're all to do with the performance of the ANC nationally. But what I'm saying is that, well, it was inevitable, because in 1994, when we achieved democracy, the Western Cape was way ahead anyway. So if you were to track indices, the Western Cape should be far ahead now. But it's not. And it's not because if you look at land reform, if you look at water, if you look at any sphere of government that you choose to, the policies of the DA locally have inhibited and not allowed those things to go forward. I mean, you look at the city of Cape Town at the moment.
Yeah.
It's racked with an internal conflict about who should be the mayor.
Yes.
You know, frankly speaking, Ronald McDonald could be the mayor of Cape Town. It doesn't matter. But if you're going to spend all your time fighting over that, and the only point I'm trying to make, bro, I'm not claiming the ANC is better. I'm not saying we've done it, but this consistent claim that the DA is better, it governs better, it performs better, it accounts for money better, it's just nonsense. What we're dealing here is a social and a sociological issue, which has to do with the way in which the state, the economy, and politics in South Africa function. So whether the ANC is in power, the DA is in power, whether the EFF, it doesn't matter. So when politicians stand up and say, oh, we did better than you, it's just not true.
Now, when you say that the DA has failed to allocate resources, are you saying the DA has failed to allocate resources proportionally? In other words, it has starved the disadvantaged community in as much as it has starved the advantaged communities of resources equally?
Worse.
I'm saying
under the ANC government, when we had policies like IKAPA, Leshemayo, and all these things where we tried to integrate communities, what the DA has done is taken us backwards. So they rolled back spinning. I'll give you two examples. The My City Bus. The My City Bus is an ANC project. We conceived of it. When we wanted to roll it out, we said, let's go to disadvantaged communities first. What did the DA do? No, they went to Table View. They went to Sea Point. You know, I live in Sea Point. I have three My City Bus routes at Sea Point. I can get the My City Bus on the lower main road, on Beach Road. I can get it on high level, and I can get, you know, on the main road. If you live in Khayelitsha, it's only recently that My City came to you. If you live in Mitchell's Plain, so I'm not talking now from some academic thing. How can you have three bus routes through Sea Point on My City, but not one to Khayelitsha, not one to Mitchell's Plain, not one to Guguletu, not one to Retreat? That's the point. Because if you have a strategy like My City, then it must apply across the community in the Western Cape.
Are you saying that the DA administration has not expanded the My City bus route network?
No, worse. I'm saying worse than that. I'm saying they took the plan of the ANC,
yes,
and they restricted it, and they first delivered to the white areas. They first delivered to Tableview. They first delivered to Sea Point so that they could go to where their voters are. And then not only that, they first gave three bus routes to Sea Point. But in the meantime, nobody from Retreat, nobody from Elsie's River, nobody, you know, from, name any colored or African township other than Khayelitsha can get a MyCity bus. And that's the point. So I'm not saying that they don't run the MyCity and the MyCity doesn't work. Fine, it works. But why are there three bus lanes in Sea Point and none in Retreat? That's the issue.
Okay. You also fault the DA for pursuing what you are calling a racist and illiberal neoconservative ideology. Yes. Please back it up with facts.
Okay. So, you know, we've had this dispute between the residents of Mitchell's Plain and of Sikhalo. There are others in the province. You see, if you look at the DA historically, it has been a racist project.
I don't when know. You tell me.
When it was first formed, it tried to mobilize white people. It drew in people from the National Party, the Conservative Party, all kinds of people under one umbrella to do one thing, protect white privilege. They put it another way, that, you know, African people will take away what you have. Second iteration was to mobilize colored and Indian voters along the same line. Now they're attempting to appeal to the black middle class. But of course, there's a contradiction. So, you know, they'll appeal to the likes of Wisi Maimane and that. But at the same time, when somebody like Patricia de Lille or this woman in the Eastern Cape challenge leadership, they'll deal with it. Because there's one thing they don't like is a black person who will talk back to them. So that's at a sociological level. But if you look at the level of economic policy, spatial planning, and so on, in the Western Cape or in any other place where the DA is governed, you don't see any changes in spatial planning, in land reform, in ownership of the economy. And while the ANC may be accused, and I'm not going to say in every case correctly so, that there's maladministration and corruption, I'm sure that takes place. But the point is the overall orientation of the ANC policy is to transform land reform. It's to transform ownership of the economy. But what we have as a DA is a government that says, no, that's nonsense. We're not going to do that. So even with the worst kind of administration of the ANC, you see some kind of progress. Yes, you see fake capture. Yes, you see looting.
Bad stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not condoning that. I want to say this for the record. That is nonsense. Those people are not ANC people. The Guptas, whoever, I disagree. That is wrong. But when you have a government that's involved in one strategy only, which is to protect and preserve the privilege of the current landowners, wealth owners, etc., who are, by and large, white people. I know there have been changes. There are lots of more middle-class black people, lots of more landowners who are not white. It's true. But if you look at them as a proportion of what we're talking about, it's minuscule.
Sure.
So the DA is involved in protecting the political economy of apartheid, reproducing the patterns of inequality, discrimination, all of these things, ownership, that existed under apartheid.
I'm going to come back and talk about that at the end, but I wanted to take you on what you say about the unemployment and the housing picture. You are alleging that the Democratic Alliance government has not looked at the issues of the marginalized in the same way that it has looked at those issues from a white community perspective. Are you suggesting that the DA government is progressively discriminating against black and other communities?
You know, it's sadly Sure, I mean, it's sad to say.
I'll need
to start. It's worse than that. Because I don't think they are objective. You know, it's not like they're saying let's discriminate against black people.
Right.
But their policies are such that they don't even see black people when they make policies. So it's not like they sat down and said, oh, how do we discriminate against black people? No. Right. In fact, let's look at job creation, whatever. So they have all these programs to bring investment into the city of Cape Town, looking at, you know, the IP industry, et cetera, et cetera. It's great. We support it. But the only people who can access those things are young white people. So it's not that they sat down and said, how do we discriminate against black people? In making policy, they never even thought about how to include black people. And that's the problem. Because if you operate from that perspective, if in the way in which you think, you don't even include black people in your thinking, and you don't include young people who are unemployed, then you'll design policies that achieve amazing results. Like Cape Town is way ahead in terms of the industry producing apps and ICT and wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
But who are the beneficiaries? They're all young white people.
No, I thought the beneficiaries would all the people that live in the Western Cape.
Yeah. No, but that's not true. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that young white people shouldn't be the beneficiaries. They should be. I'm not here to say that young white people shouldn't benefit from government policy. They should. But if that's all who's going to benefit, if young black people, young colored people in the Western Cape can't, then there's something wrong with the policy. So I'm not saying there shouldn't be opportunities and support for government for young white people. Mm. That's not my point of view.
Okay.
But if they are the only beneficiaries, then there's something fundamentally wrong with the policy.
What about on housing?
Same on housing.
Yeah, okay. What's your contention?
Look, how many examples can I choose? I live in Seapoints. There was a private a piece of land here owned by the government, a school called Tafelberg. Wonderful, lovely piece of property. It could have been developed with commercial and retail stuff on the main road, social housing on the backside of the property. Since 1991 that I've lived in Seapoint, we've been advocating that. The government sold the property to a private school so that it could be used for the education of rich private children.
Hmm.
Greenpoint Hospital. Same story. Somerset Hospital. Same story. I can take you through properties in Seapoint. Then you go to town, District 6, Zonnebloem, wherever you want to go.
Hmm.
There are vast tracts of open land in the city of Cape Town where if a conscious strategy by a government to bring people to the city center, create opportunities for them to be housed here, and I'm not saying give free housing.
Mm.
We're not talking about building RDP housing.
Yeah.
We're talking about social and affordable housing where workers could live, their families could live, people who can pay rent.
Yeah.
On every opportunity that the Western Cape government has had, they've refused. Let me tell you about Patricia de Lille.
Yes.
Because we've engaged with her. One of the main things that has caused the downfall of Patricia de Lille is that she has been saying to the people in the DA leadership, we need to build social and affordable housing in the city of Cape Town.
Mm.
But what does the DA government want? It wants more companies like Berman Brothers, like Block, like all these FWJK rich, wealthy, multi-billionaires to have all the land in Cape Town to develop for private sales. And she stood her ground and she said, no, I won't do that. And I have no ideological or political affiliation to Patricia de Lille. She joined the DA. But I think she learned a harsh lesson because when she stood up to the DA, they showed her that if you mess with us, if you don't allow property development to ensure that wealthy people benefit from Cape Town, you will suffer the consequences. And I think the results are very clear for anyone to see.
Sure. You allege as well that the DA has provided tax incentives for what you are calling shiny, new and expensive apartment blocks in the CBD and surrounds. Please educate me a little bit.
Absolutely. So we have something here called the City Improvement Districts. There was a clear section of the city to be an improvement district, and with that comes all sorts of incentives for development. I think in principle that's a good thing. Nobody's disputing that we need to encourage people to invest so that derelict buildings in the city will be developed. But we're not Braamfontein, we're not Hillbrow. This is Cape Town. So what tends to happen here is that big property developers will come in, use those incentives to build apartments and so on. So now, simple math, imagine you build an apartment, it's worth 3 million, you get a tax incentive, it's 1.5 million. For somebody who buys it, they can get a bond, it's somewhere between 3 million and 4.5 million. Which worker can afford that? Which working class family? Nobody can. So the people who benefit from the tax incentive perversely are those who have access to money. So it fuels property speculation. It fuels those people who come into places and buy up 10, 20, 30 apartments because they want to buy them and sell them on at a profit.
Could that not be a strategy to try to get more money into the city of Cape Town? That would eventually benefit everybody. Trickle-down economics, Philip?
No, that's fine, if you believe in trickle-down. But all the history of trickle-down shows it never trickles down to those who need it. So that's why I'm saying I'm not against these policies. I'm not against saying, let's have part of the city of Cape Town for wealthy people who can do that. But designate part of it to those who can't. Have some area of Cape Town for social and affordable housing. But every time we propose a piece of land like Telfairberg, like District 6, like Greenpoint, the DA says no. They just declared Greenpoint a heritage site. It's a field. How can a field be a heritage site? Because what they're doing is they're saying you will not build social and affordable housing here. And we can go on with myriad examples.
Are you saying it's so empty, there's nothing in it, and therefore there's no heritage to be safeguarded? Is that what you're saying?
Have you ever been to Greenpoint?
I have, but it's been a while, but also I have not really looked at it with those kind of eyes. That would be looking out for...
It's a golf course.
Okay.
It's a park. A lovely park, lovely golf course. But how can that be a heritage site? A heritage site must be something that has a history, a value to the community. So they've now declared it a heritage site. So you, even if you did buy it, you can't develop anything. You must leave it as an open green field so that rich people can play golf. I'm not against rich people playing golf. I love golf. But if it's a choice between golf and housing, then housing must prevail. There's no shortage of golf courses. But there's an... We are short of 2.5 million houses in our country. Really? When there's a priority, housing is a priority.
I was going to say that maybe there aren't many places where you can place a golf course by the sea.
Look, it's not about policy. From the Greenpoint Golf Course, Metropolitan Golf Course, you can see the sea on one or two, three occasions. But, that's not the issue. The point is this, it's about how do we as a society choose priorities. And my point about social cohesion
that's what I was going to come to last now. Yeah. You might as well get into it. You speak of social cohesion. Are you saying that they...